We're going to turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 8. The Gospel of Luke and the chapter 8. And last time we were seeing how the Lord performed a miracle on the Sea of Galilee, where there was a storm. The disciples feared that they were going to drown. And the Lord spoke to the wind and the waves. He brought calm. We're going to read then today from verse 26. Luke 8 and the verse 26. And so being the calm then, the disciples were able to continue their journey. Verse 26, they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. When he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils or demons long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer or allow them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled. And went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. And the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. We'll end there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We will look to the Lord again, please, briefly in prayer, asking for the Lord's help as we come and meditate upon his truth. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy holy word, and we thank thee that the Saviour, who worked all of those years ago in the land of the Gadarenes, is still the Lord who is working through his Spirit today. And we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt come to those that are bound in this gathering, perhaps oblivious to the fact that they are bound. We pray that their eyes will be opened today, that they will be brought to see the great power and authority of Christ, that they will be delivered, that they will be like this one then, brought to be clothed and in their right mind. O Lord, grant help in the ministry of thy word, we pray. O Lord, we cry to thee that there will be a word from the Lord to every waiting soul. We pray in our Lord's great name. Amen. Amen. I want, with the Lord's help, to focus today on the words of the verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. They besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. Are not these words among the saddest in the Bible? Following the miracle of the casting out of this multitude of demons out of this man that is often referred to as the madman of Gadara, instead of the locals responding, saying, "Tell us more of yourself. Explain to us your unusual power and authority," instead, they pleaded with the Lord Jesus to leave them. They besought him to depart. The word "besought" there can actually be translated "pray." And so, this is a word that's taken in the New Testament to describe the manner of our prayer. We are to plead with the Lord. And so, what an awful thing that these people who were not in the habit of praying to the true God, the one time that they do pray, their prayer is, leave us alone. Now, why would they pray in that way? Well, verse 37 tells us it's because they were taken in great fear. A great fear had come upon them. And out of this fear, then, they said, leave us. And in a moment or two, I'll come and make some suggestions as to why they were afraid. But while we look at this and we stand in amazement, we stand in wonder, yet in another sense, we have to acknowledge that what happened all of those years ago in the land of the Gadarenes still happens today. Is this not the cry of society? When society comes into some contact with the truth of God, when society comes into some contact with the authority of Christ as is displayed in the Word of God, what is the reaction of society? They would say, "Go away, Lord. We don't want to hear anything more about this. We don't want to have any explanation about it. And we certainly don't want the gospel set before us." There are many then that sit in church services like this that pray in the same way. "Go away from me, God. I do not want to hear this. I do not want to be exposed to this." And so while, yes, in one sense, we stand in amazement at what the Gadarenes did, in another sense, we see that it's replicated before us continuously. Now, before I get into this, I want you to show that there is, I want us to see that there is a relationship here between this incident and the one that we talked about last week, the miracle on the Sea of Galilee. For remember, when the disciples were in that ship in the storm, they were afraid. Such was their fear. They come to Jesus and say, "Carest thou not that we perish?" So they were afraid. But then when the Lord did the miracle of bringing the calm, there was a new fear. And so they cry out in their hearts, "What manner of man is this?" They being afraid wondered, verse 25. So there had been fear. Following the miracle, there's a new type of fear. And we come then to this miracle that we're talking about today, the deliverance of the madman of his demons. While he had those demons, while he was possessed, There was a community gripped in fear. They lived in fear of this madman. They tried to restrain him and they couldn't. When they would put chains onto him, he would break them. But then, when the Lord delivered him, there was a new type of fear. And so there are these parallels, and yet there's a distinction. For though the disciples were afraid after that calming of the sea, their fear was not saying that we are going to abandon you. They continued with the Lord. Their fear then was rather one of reverence. They marveled. But the fear of the Gadarenes was one that said, we cannot remain in your company. And so they sought the Lord and besought him to leave. Their fear then was that of rejection. And I want them, with the Lord's help, to suggest ways in which they were afraid. Why was it that they were afraid? Why was there this fear before the authority and power of Christ? I want to say, first of all, with you, that there was a fear, I believe, of exposure. A fear of exposure. I remember a few weeks back we talked about the parable of the lamp being lifted up on the lampstand. And the lamp then was not to be hidden under the bed or under a bowl. It's to be lifted up that the light fills the room. As our Lord Jesus came into the community of Gadara, his light was not hidden under a bed. It was lifted up. And the Lord's great power and authority was manifested when he came to the hardest of cases. If you had gone to that community and asked, who is the worst man in this community? Everyone knew. The Lord came and he dealt with the hardest of cases. The light was not hidden under a bed. And so, as we think of the madman, when he had that, when he had all of those demons, in comparison with Jesus Christ, what a comparison. Legion, as he's referred to, because he had all of these demons, lived among tombs. He was unclean. He was untamable. When efforts were made to restrain him, he had this unusual strength. He would break free from the chains. He was unconcerned, we might say. He had a little sense of self-respect. He tore away clothes. He had no sense of shame. And so he was a danger to himself. He was cutting himself with stones. And the community felt that he was a danger to them. As I say, what a contrast to our Lord Jesus Christ. He was filled not with demons, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. He was God manifest in flesh. He was not deranged, but there was this great calmness of soul. Now, when this man, Legion, had all of the demons, no one liked it. I'm sure it must have been somewhat of an embarrassment to his family. It must have been a continual nuisance. You think even of how he had taken residence in the graveyard. Every time there was to be a funeral, it must have presented a fresh problem. And so, this was a community that lived in fear. And yet, as I've said, when the man was so marvelously delivered, the community didn't gather around him in joy. They weren't gathering round saying, "We're so glad to see you now delivered." And as news spreads and people come to see what has happened, the crowds aren't saying, "Well, we want to hear more about how this happened." But rather they're saying, "Leave us. Go away. Why is this?" Well, man's natural tendency is to compare himself with others. And so when the question is asked, "Are you a good person?" man wants to answer yes. He wants to say, "I'm a good person." As you think about that person who lives down the street and all the things that he has done, I am not like him. And he wants to say then, "I am good." Now you think about what it was like for this community when the madman had all of the demons. If they were asked that confronting question, "Are you a good person?" how would they respond? "I am not like that man that lives at the graveyard. I'm wearing clothes. People aren't living in fear of me. I don't behave in that way. I am good." In that way, it was quite convenient having Legion living in your area. The people thought that it made them look quite good. But now there comes one into that community. And what do the demons say about him? Verse 28, "When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?'" Now understand that the man realizes this because of the demons inside him. They know it. The demons know that the one before them is Jesus, thou Son of God Most High. Now here then is a new challenge in that comparison. They have been quite happy to compare themselves with Legion. But now the challenge is, how do you measure up against this man? Jesus, the Son of God, Most High. And I think as you see it in that, from that particular perspective, you can understand then that this community were saying, "Leave us." Because if they evaluated themselves at all against Jesus Christ, they had to come to this conclusion, how sinful we are. We have tried to convince ourselves that we are good, that we are upright people. Now, most of these people were not Jews, certainly not practicing Jews. So this was the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The fact that this pig farming was taking place was evidence that these people were not Jews or practicing Jews. But presumably they felt themselves, whatever their religious beliefs or practices, that we are moral. But when they have to evaluate themselves in comparison with Christ, they have to say, "I am not good. I am a commandment breaker. I have lied. I have deceived. I have lusted. I have not loved God as I ought." Perhaps it was that very first commandment, love the Lord, that so disturbed them. Here is one who is God in flesh, Jesus, Son of God Most High. We have not loved God as we ought. The commandment says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." There were many things that they had put in place of the Most High. And you see, today, we are not to evaluate ourselves against those in our neighborhood. And then decide, well, I am a good person after all. You're to examine yourself against the Lord himself. Our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5, I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I mentioned that text to a Jehovah's Witness lady a while back, and she said, what that means is that the scribes and Pharisees, while they were outwardly religious, they were hypocrites. And so what Jesus was saying, just be better than a hypocrite. Well, no, that is not what that text is saying at all. The message of the gospel is, be as religious as the most religious, but don't be a hypocrite. That's not the gospel. The gospel rather is, there is one whose righteousness greatly exceeded the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were hypocrites. I agree with the Jehovah's Witness lady in that part. But what Jesus was emphasizing is, you take the most religious, moral person you can think of. If you're to enter heaven on the basis of your good deeds, your righteousness will have to exceed that. To put it another way, you need to be as righteous as Christ is. And you can't by your own effort. Even from this moment, if you are to determine in your heart, I will obey the law of God, and you can't do it, it doesn't wash away your previous sin. You need to be as righteous as Christ is. So what hope is there for you? Well, the only hope is in Christ himself then. That he would be your righteousness. And here you see, we see then the folly of those men and women, those locals of Gadara. They were saying, leave us. You convict us too much. And yet by driving Christ away, they were driving away the very one that they needed. The one that was their only hope. There was a fear of exposure. But I want to suggest to you, secondly, there was a fear of transformation. If you look in verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And so they come and they see this man that they've heard all these stories about. They see this man that they've avoided for such a long time. But what is he like now? He's clothed. He's seen. There's a transformation. And they can't avoid that. What Christ did brought a transformation. And what is their response? Leave us. Go away from us. Surely what they're saying is, we fear that you'll change us. We fear that our lives will be transformed. I think if we had said to the people there, you're being entirely unreasonable, they might have responded, well, what about our pigs? What about our lifestyle? What about our livelihood? And so when the demons in the man then were confronted by Christ, they said, allow us to go into the pigs. And as they went into the pigs ran then down the cliff and into the sea. The reaction of the population then was very telling. They were really saying, in effect, pigs are more important to us than an individual, than the life of this dear man. to them, money was more important than souls. Food more important than the welfare of this dear soul. Their priorities were all wrong. And so, as I've said, the fear was that we would be transformed. The fear was that if the Lord lingered in this community, that there would be a changed priority. That instead of living for self and for the moment, they would have to live with a Godward and an eternal perspective. Instead of living for self, there would be a transformation. And they feared that. And many do fear that today. When they're confronted with the reality of the gospel, when they're confronted with what the Lord has done in the life of another, they don't want to hear it. Because while, yes, they may acknowledge it's good that that individual has been delivered from his alcoholism, or it's good for that individual that he's been delivered from his drug addiction or whatever it might have been, but I don't want to give up my sin. I don't want my life transformed. I don't want the Lord to deal with my heart. I don't want my priorities straightened out. And maybe this is the fear of some soul in this meeting today. You fear the gospel lest it would transform you. Lest your whole home life and private life would be completely transformed. And yet that's the very thing that's needed. We need the Lord's transforming power. There was a fear of transformation. And I want to suggest to you, finally, there was a fear of judgment. You see, the cry of the local people has some tragic similarities with the cry of the multitude of demons that had been inside that dear man, Legion. The demons did not want to remain in Christ's presence. In fact, the demons knew they could not remain in Christ's presence. And so, in the verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before them, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee? What have I to do with thee?" Now, why do the demons acknowledge that it is Jesus before the man? Because the demons knew that God had what we might call a program. God had a set time. And Matthew brings that out to us in his account of this particular miracle. And Matthew tells us that there were actually two men. And Luke and Mark only tell us about one, evidently because they are drawing our attention to the worst of them. In Matthew 8, verse 28, "Behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Have you come to torment us before the time? In other words, they acknowledged that God has a set time to do something. God had a set time to deal with Satan and the demons. There was a time to be cast into the abyss. If you look at verse 31, "They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep." Now that word that is translated there, the deep, the Greek word is the abyss. And that word, as we'll see in a moment or two, is translated then in the book of Revelation as the bottomless pit. And so here's their plea. Don't cast us into the bottomless pit. Don't cast us into the abyss. They knew there was a time that God had set for such. They knew there was a time that God had set for their restraint and then for their ultimate destruction and eternal doom. And so that's why we read earlier from the book of Revelation chapter 20. Now, there are other parts of the book of Revelation that make reference to this bottomless pit. But in Revelation 20, in the verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he let hold in the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. And so there was this period then for the devil to be in the bottomless pit, in the deep, in the abyss. But then towards the end of the chapter, we read of how Satan was cast into the lake of fire, and also those that were on his side. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And so going back to the demons then. The demons knew God at a set time. God at a set time for their restraint. And God at a set time for their ultimate destruction. Now, believing all of that to be true did not save them. So these demons believed in the reality of the person and the power of Jesus Christ. They knew that and they believed it. They knew and they believed in the reality of hell and destruction. But it didn't save them. James brings that out in James chapter 2 to speak then of the foolishness of those that would say today, well, I believe in the existence of God. I believe in the reality that there was an historic person, Jesus. I even believe there is a hell. James says the demons, the devils also believe and tremble. Have you come to trust in that Savior? James is emphasizing. So the demons, they don't want this program, as it were, to be enacted. Have you come before the time? I understand that Christians have different views about the actual timing of when Revelation 20, these different details are fulfilled. I'm not getting into that this morning. But what we all can agree is this, that God has appointed a time. And God will see to it that these various details are fulfilled in time. I personally believe we cannot divorce Revelation 20 from the cross. That it is on the basis of the cross that Satan is restrained. So the demons, they were afraid. They feared, ultimately, the judgment. But then we think of the locals. Just as the demons had said, we don't want to encounter Jesus Christ, the locals are saying, we don't want Jesus' presence here. We can't have it. And surely this parallel shows us that part of the fear in this community was this. We do not want the judgment of God. We do not want the lake of fire. We do not want eternal judgment. And what do? They send Jesus away. But in so doing, we see their folly. For in Christ there was the escape from judgment. In sending Christ away, they were adding hell to hell. The book of Romans chapter 2 speaks of the hard and impenitent heart. And sinners, according to that heart, they treasure up wrath against the day of wrath. And the language has the idea that hell is going to be so severe. But as sinners reject Christ, what are they doing? They're adding severity to severity. They're giving God even greater reason to judge them. Now, these people were already without excuse. But you think of this. They had the privilege of having the Son of God Most High before them. And they say, leave us. Go away. There was a recognition of God's presence, but tragically, a resentment of God's presence. And thereby, what an awful future awaited them. And I ask the question today, and sinner, do not evade it. Is that just like you? Are you doing what those men of Gadara, those people of Gadara did? Are you saying, leave me, God? Don't speak to me like that. You see, on one hand, we can see the awfulness of the madness that that man experienced when he had those demons. But surely the greatest madness was actually the madness, the folly of the community when they said to Jesus, leave us alone. In one sense, God gave the demons what they wanted. God allowed them to go into the pigs. And in the same way, God then gave to the people what they wanted. They didn't want his presence, and physically he left them. And if they went on in that way, they have now what they requested. What is hell? Hell is to be separated from the gracious presence of Christ. And those men and women today, as they lift up their heads in hell, in the awfulness of that punishment, what do they not have? They do not have the gracious presence of Christ. They have only got wrath. They have the very isolation they requested. Tragically so. But for we that sit in this meeting, praise God, there is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. What an awful place will be that abyss, the bottomless pit. And what an awful place, the lake of fire. Well, did you notice those words at the beginning of the meeting? Jesus said, I have the keys. I have the keys of hell and death. In Revelation 20, there is the one that comes down from heaven. He's holding the key. Christ is the one with the authority today. And he has that authority to condemn you to hell. But praise God, he has the authority to save. He has the power to save. This madman, or the man that had been mad, that was delivered, he went out and he was speaking to the people of the great things that Jesus had done for him. The Lord is able to do great things for you today. You come into this room today condemned, but you can go away forgiven. You come into this room deserving of eternal judgment. You can go away with the assurance of heaven if you go away with Christ as your Savior. There was a great battle that day at Gadara. As God dealt with hell, and cast the demons out of that man. There was a great conflict at Calvary as Christ won that victory in his death. Perhaps even in this moment, the closing moments of this meeting, there is a conflict in your heart. Will you say to Jesus today, go away? Oh, that would not be your plea, but rather in brokenness that you would say, Jesus, I come to thee. Come for your soul's sake. As the Lord's people, as we reflect on this great miracle, surely our takeaway is to be this. We recognize the reality of demonic activity, but we do not live enslaved. We do not live in bondage. We have one who is greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We praise God for a powerful Christ. May the unconverted among us come to that powerful Christ. We trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. We'll bow together, please, in prayer. Perhaps the Lord has been speaking to your heart today. Perhaps you have felt the Lord dealing with your soul. Don't go away without Jesus Christ. The hymn writer said, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Come then to Christ today for your very soul's sake. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy presence among us here today. We thank thee for the great power in the gospel. Lord, these are solemn words. Lord, we pray over any in our gathering that would be saying, still, leave me. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou will deal with hard hearts. We pray that there will be those today that are broken and contrite, that they will say, Jesus, Lamb of God, I come to thee. Oh, Lord, we thank thee that the people of God have the assurance that we have been cleansed, we have been delivered, we have been set free. And yes, the devil is against us, but we thank thee that in our battle against principalities and powers, that we have been supplied with a great armor. We pray then that day and daily that we will know that victory through him. We thank thee for the refreshments. We pray that you'll bless those to us and bless our fellowship together and bless the Sunday school and the adult class as well that follow. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.